and our prayer song to bring Marsha. And when I say Cheryl, looked at me like, no, not me. Not me, Lord. Is my heart is open. My heart is open to the sacredness of my path. My heart is open to the sacredness of my path. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill our hearts with love. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill our hearts with love. My path is open. My heart is open to the sacredness of my path. My heart is open to the sacredness of my path. Come and fill our hearts with joy. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill our hearts with joy. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill our hearts with joy. And let's sing this for Marsha. Her heart is open to the sacredness of her path. Here we go. And come and fill her heart. We'll do that. Her heart is open to the sacredness of her path. Her heart is open to the sacredness of her path. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill her heart with love. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill her heart with love.
What a beautiful prayer, and thank you for filling me with your love, God filling me with God's love. And so I wasn't going to tell you this story, but then after Rosemary's amazing, delightful, and moving morning meditation on Sunday, I realized that this was a story that I could share with you in a certain context. So Dennis and I flew from Sacramento to Chicago to Boston, and Tanya was coming in an hour after we were coming in, so we all rented a car and drove on up to Portland, Maine. And I know that the Nielsens would have welcomed us, but we thought the first night after an all-nighter and a red-eye special, we needed a hotel. So we checked into the Ramada Inn and got our stuff settled and realized we needed to eat a little bit before we went to bed. We were exhausted, although we hadn't moved very much either. So we went across the street, got something to eat, and thought we'd take a little walk. And as we're walking, I saw this marquee, and it said, PT's Show Club. And then it said, this weekend, Alexis Monroe, no cover. And I thought, wow, maybe there's a really great musician, and there were cars in the parking lot. I mean, this wasn't when it was going to happen, but I thought, maybe something's going on tonight. You know, a folk singer or a bluegrass singer. And so Dennis and I took hands and walked across the parking lot, and there was the doorway, and there were two rather scantily clothed young ladies standing out there smoking, and one of them said to Dennis, I really admire you for bringing your wife. And Dennis and I looked at each other like, and Dennis said, well, what do you mean? And she said, well, this is a strip club. This is, you know, strip club. And Dennis and I looked at each other, and Dennis said, he said, I'm sorry, he said, anyway, he said, wow, do you go to stripper school to learn how to work at a strip club? And this young woman said, no, you just take off your clothes and you just watch what the other women do. You learn from, you know, your peers. It's like, okay. So, then that young woman that was speaking left. Her shift was over. And so the other young woman was standing there smoking her cigarette, and I noticed that she was scantily clad. And Dennis said, "This." I mean, he just spoke so normally. He said, oh, where are you from? And she said, well, I'm from Atlanta. And he said, well, how did you get here? Wow. Why did you come here? It's just like we were talking to someone at church coffee hour, you know. And she said, well, my mother and father and brother moved up here, and so I came up here too. And he said, well, do your parents come to see you at the show? And she said, oh no, parents wouldn't want to see their daughter naked. Oh my. So by this time, the bouncer was out. He came out to have his cigarette. He was about 10 feet tall and 500 pounds, you know, and he kind of joined in the conversation. He said, it's only $8 per person. So, let's see, I've got to gather myself together. Oh, and Dennis asked, well, are there women in the audience? So the young woman said, well, sometimes there are a few women in the audience. And so anyway, it was time to go. Oh, this young woman said, it's time for me to go back to work. So she, right. She said, it's time for me to go back to work. And Dennis said, oh, well, what's your name? And she said, my name is Raven. Raven, R-A-V-E-N. My name is Raven. And then she went in, and the bouncer went in, and I said to Dennis, it's only $8 a person. You know? I've never been to a strip club. This might be my only opportunity. And Dennis said, I've been up since 10 p.m. night before last. I'm tired. I want to go back to the hotel. So.
Was there any bluegrass?
If you had been with me, we would have gone in, right? To see if there was any. If there was bluegrass. Anyway, it was just the funniest. The funniest thing, then we wouldn't have even seen that. You know, I was thinking, well, I'll tell you later. Anyway, but you know, honestly, I wanted to say, I was so amazed at Dennis. He was just carrying on this conversation so normally, and honestly, I might want to say this seriously. By the end of the conversation, I felt that there was an interaction, a respect, kind of a mutual ground, and it was really very sweet. And Cheryl, I was thinking about, you know, the crystals, the images that you were putting up here. I feel like during that conversation, we went from one of those chaotic crystals to something kind of harmonious. I mean, we were communicating in an authentic way, and it was very sweet. So, back to Rosemary. Rosemary, remember Rosemary's message? If you have burdens, if you have old habits, you're ready to strip off. Well, thank you, Rosemary, for being the entree for me into telling this story. I really wasn't going to tell it. You know, we got home the next day. We were at Kirsten and Eric's, and we talked about this. And anyway, I'll tell you later. So, let's transition. I'm going to talk for a few minutes about spiritual temperaments, because I took there was a women's retreat at the Episcopal Church, and they asked me to lead music, and I was participating in the workshop. And I was thinking, I know of a person who has a very unusual spiritual temperament, and I emailed her before I came because I had a question for her, and her name is Barbara Thomas. And I emailed Barbara because I receive her blog, which comes out every few weeks or every month or something. It's called The Council of Gnomes. And she said, they know about this. I talked to them about the gnomes when I was there before. And they'll remember and they'll understand. Sort of the subtitle of the website or the blog is To Invite Humanity to Remember and Return to Interaction with the Consciousness of Nature. I think, aren't we in just a magnificent environment here to remember and return to interaction with the consciousness of nature? So the reason I asked her permission was because I have three quotes that I had typed up and taped on my windowsill above my computer, and I wanted her permission for me to share those with you. And she said, oh, of course, tell them I love them, and I'm thinking of them. And so here are the three quotes from Barbara, and I just include them here because she is a unique spiritual temperament, and I really admire and respect and adore her. We've been friends for a long, long time. First quote, to be honest and open and free, to let you see who I really am, takes the rawest kind of courage. I'll read that again. To be honest and open and free, to let you see who I really am, takes the rawest kind of courage. I think that's the kind of courage that we grow to have here at CFO, because we share deeply with each other. We take that risk to show each other who we really are. And we have an opportunity in our prayer groups to just put it out there. I love that idea. Next one. It's not necessarily what you do, but the energy you bring to what you do. It's not necessarily what you do, but the energy you bring to what you do. And the next one, I'll be sharing something tomorrow that relates a little more to this one, but it is a process of shedding rather than adding on a learning. It is a process of shedding rather than adding on a learning. This retreat was based on a book called What's Your God Language by Dr. Myra Perrine. Is anyone familiar with that? I don't really recommend the book, but I recommend the concept. It's written, anyway, it's not my language, let's put it that way. It's not written in my language, but I really enjoyed the ideas of it. The book has two questionnaires that help you discern what your spiritual temperament is, and then another questionnaire to help you discern what your spiritual practices are. And the question is, how do my practices reflect my temperament? How do my spiritual practices reflect my spiritual temperament? And it was kind of enlightening for me. One of the points is, perhaps I've been taught certain ways to pray, certain ways to let my spiritual journey unfold, but maybe those teachings are not really in alignment with my own temperament. Because, you know, we've been taught in our Sunday school classes and here and there. So I thought that was interesting. And the other thing is, she's very clear, there are no rights or wrongs regarding spiritual temperaments. All of these temperaments are of God's design. And we're different. We're all different by God's design. And as a body of individuals, we need one another. And she said, this is my growing edge, by the way. She said, as we mature spiritually, we begin to transcend our spiritual differences. And as we work together, side by side, the friction, the rubbing, polishes and smooths off our rough edges. I need to grow in that area, and I'll share with a little bit more about that in a minute. So God created each of us with our own special spiritual temperaments, and we grow to honor the varied spiritual temperaments of our friends and family and churches and communities. Sort of the culmination of this retreat was women in this retreat, how many stood up and were surprised at how their spiritual practices did not line up with their spiritual temperaments. And they felt, and I felt this too, it was very enlightening to just look at all this. So I'm going to share with you, this is in a nutshell, because this is in a whole book, right? This is just the essence of the book. I'm going to share the temperament, and then I'll share the spiritual experiences that connect us with God through this temperament. So, the activist. I'm going to be interested in seeing if you see yourself in any of these temperaments. The activist connects with God through confronting wrong or evil. Connects with God through confronting wrong or evil. And at the retreat, we kind of divided up in our groups, and that group, their assignment was to write a protest letter. So the second temperament is the ascetic. Connects with God through solitude and simplicity. And their activity was walking the labyrinth. The third is the caregiver, who connects with God through serving others. And that group, they were writing cards and letters to people who were ill or grieving. And the fourth is the contemplative. And the contemplative connects with God through adoration. And at the retreat, they walked the Stations of the Cross that were posted around the sanctuary. The fifth temperament is the enthusiast, who connects with God through mystery and celebration. And that group did singing and movement together. That's the group that I led. And the next temperament is the intellectual, who connects with God through the mind. And they had a beautiful exercise. It was creating a psalm. They created their own psalms and then read them for us afterwards. The seventh one is the naturalist, who connects with God through experiencing God in the out-of-doors. And the eighth one is the sensate, who connects with God through the senses. The naturalist, they took walks outside. The sensate, they were stringing beautiful beads. Now, I see so many people here with beautiful beads around their name tags, and that was their exercise, to string beautiful beads in necklaces or bracelets, yeah. And then the last one is the traditionalist, who connects with God through ritual and symbol. And that group shared their favorite rituals together and received communion together. So Perrine says we all have a bit of all of these aspects. So it's a little, part of all of us. So even in the planning group of this, there's Anne, whenever there's a church event, she creates the most beautiful surroundings with flowers and color and banners and ribbons. And it's just, this is who she is. This is what she does at the church. And Karen is always in the kitchen. She's always in the kitchen cooking and serving. And that's just what she did for this event. And then Cheryl, she makes the plans, she sends out the emails, she documents everything that happened, and then she evaluates it afterwards. So it was just so interesting. Did you see yourself in any of those? Just let me see if anybody related with anything. Could you relate to that? Yeah, okay, good. So I just felt like the whole concept was, okay, now I should share with you about myself because I'm here speaking. You should know. Okay, my strongest point, my highest preference was caregiver, which you'll hear about that in another talk. That is a very strong point in my life. And my next one was enthusiast. I guess I can be kind of enthusiastic about things. And then the next one was naturalist. Because I do love to be out in nature. And you will, these questions really are very clear. You know which one you want to choose. And my practices, the one that I left out, ironically, is what I consider myself, a contemplative. I left out that practice. And I had the practices of a naturalist, a caregiver, and an enthusiast. So it was quite enlightening. Now, I want to say something about CFO. Isn't CFO fabulous? How it covers, really, in the course of a day, and certainly in the course of the week, we all relate to our strong suits and our not-so-strong suits, but it's all here for us to become more whole, as Dana was saying, the wholeness. The other thing that was really interesting that she said in her book was growing churches are made up of differing spiritual temperaments. Growing churches are made up of differing spiritual temperaments. Well, I'll tell you what's hard for me, because I was actually drawn to leave two different churches. And the reason the first time happened was we had joined this church, been part of it for 20 years, and then the new pastor came, and he yelled at us. His preaching was yelling. And it was just like my spiritual temperament was so different from his that I could not be part of that. And this is my growing edge, because this is what the point is, you know, learn to grow, respect that friction, it's gonna smooth out all those rough places. Well, I'm not there yet, I'm not there yet. The other thing about that pastor, not only did he yell, but he refused to speak to one of the primary members of our church. Because, well, they obviously were very different. But he even got the church pastor-parish relations committee to agree with him that he didn't need to speak with that person. It was time for me to leave. Dennis stayed. He stayed a little bit longer than I did. But so there's my growing edge. And then, because I used to say to myself, this is my church, and the pastors come and go, you know, which is typically what happens. That was sort of my stand on things, but I had to give in to my own ways, I think. I want to read that again, this one thing that I'm working on. As we mature spiritually, we begin to transcend our spiritual differences. And as we work together side by side, the friction, the rubbing, polishes and smooths off our rough edges. So this is still my growing edge. Then the second time this happened was after we had moved. We just moved in 2010. We searched around for different churches. We visited all different kinds, and we ended up at an Episcopal church. And the pastor had been the founding pastor of that church. He'd been there for 20 years, and he was very relaxed and just the friendliest environment and loving. And then it was time for him to retire, and the church hired a pastor who was also a military chaplain in the reserves. And what I couldn't handle was the images that he had projected up on the screens. He would have images of tanks and soldiers with guns. And I honor that this is an important part of life in our world, but growing up in the family I grew up in, that was very hard for me to just be with those images. And so I actually went and had a long talk with him. And actually, he's not showing those images anymore. But it was time. And then the church realized they needed to have a second pastor, and they hired another military chaplain. She went first to her deployment in Afghanistan, and he had said he wouldn't be deployed because he was already had enough seniority. Well, he just got back from Guantanamo. So it's been hard for me. And it's my, yeah, I confess, this is a confession. This is my growing edge. And I'm working on this. So this is not our ideal, but Dennis is attending one church. He's attending that church. He made friends. You know, he substitutes for the choir director, pianist, when she's not there. He's got a circle. He's got a group he's with. So I've been attending the Sierra Foothills United Universalist Church in Auburn. I'm driving up to Auburn, which is in the opposite direction from where he's going. So it's not our ideal to be attending two different churches. And maybe there are other couples or families here that are in a similar situation, but anyway. So that was my growing edge. I would like to share with you now more about my prayer life, my spiritual life, and part of my prayer life and my spiritual life is sometimes there'll be a little phrase in the Bible that just grabs me, and I hear music with it. I hear music with it. So I'd like to share one of those with you right now. It's just a short little song. Dennis is actually going to accompany. And the scripture is, I wonder if I can tell you, it's from John 3:34. God's measureless gift. So measureless is God's gift of the Spirit. Let me read you this section here. He who comes from above is above all others. He who is from the earth belongs to the earth and uses earthly speech. He who comes from heaven bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one accepts his witness. To accept his witness is to attest that God speaks the truth. For he whom God sent utters the words of God. So measureless is God's gift of the Spirit. And when I read that, so measureless is God's gift of the Spirit, this is what I heard. And I'm going to sing it for you. It's very simple because I'd like you to join me. It just goes like this. So measureless is God's gift of the Spirit. So measureless is God's gift of the Spirit. Try it. So measureless is God's gift of the Spirit. So measureless is God's gift of the Spirit. Would you stand and do it with me one more time? So measureless is God's gift of the Spirit. So yourself sway with this. So measureless is God's gift of the Spirit. So measureless is God's gift of the Spirit. Now please stay standing if you're able. And Dennis is going to play that. Now I'm going to sing the second part. I have to get ready and take a big breath. Okay, Dennis, you ready? So measureless, so measureless, try it. So measureless, so measureless. Okay, now. Who's going to help me? Mike, are you going to help me? Jane, you're going to help me? Okay, so. You got it, okay?
Yeah, I
think so. Okay, so I'd like to glide right down here, and we're going to start singing the first part. So, and then after we do that, you can come on. Okay? Yeah. And then maybe then we'll switch.
Okay.
Got it?
So
we're going to do the first part and then the second part. Okay, and then we'll switch. So you'll do it. So, hold on. Okay, we'll figure it out. Here we go. So.
So,
Now, what was it that Barbara had said? She said, to be honest and open and free, to let you see who I really am, takes the rawest kind of courage. Well, this is one thing. This is who I really am. I love music, and music is part of my scripture reading. Music is just, you know, it kind of invades your whole life. So here's another quote from our son, Carl. He was about 7 when he said this. Again, put his little chin in his, it was morning before school, put his little chin in his hands, and his little blonde hair was flopping around, and he said, "Mommy, maybe when I see red, you see green." Now, how would we know, right? "Mommy, maybe when I see red, it looks like green to you." So we had this conversation, and I told him, you know, maybe it does. Yeah, I don't really know. But I feel like this is kind of how our spirituality is. We all have our own spiritual journey, and it's totally unique. There are things we have in common, but it's a totally unique journey. And prayer to me is a very personal and mysterious part of my life. My nearest, or some of the nearest and dearest people to me, the most loving and kind and generous people, do not put spiritual terms to the way they live. They're not going to church. These are some of my family members. They're not using God language. But honestly, they are godly people. I feel God's spirit flowing through them. And actually, one of them, one who's very close to me, called not long ago and said, "You know, I know you talk with God, and I'd like you just to give God a message for me. Tell God I am so, so thankful." And I said to this person, "Your prayer has been heard. Your prayer has been heard through your sincerity." You know, we can be ourselves. We can witness to life, and I'm not one to be trying to get someone to use the language that I use. You know, maybe I see green and it looks like red to them, or maybe I just don't know. So, what is my prayer life like? Well, it's very fluid, and I call it floating. It's kind of like, so may, I kind of float. And my prayer life is often without words. I take walks around the neighborhood, walks around our property, walks down at the river, and it's just like an energy within me that is bubbling, that is sometimes just wordless. I feel like I'm always in conversation with Spirit. I'm always talking to Spirit and feeling just this sense of receptivity and knowing that I'm heard, and hearing the messages I need to hear. I have a little gift for you, for those of you who would like it. I made 20 copies, but I can make more. They're over on the piano. And this is a little booklet that I made when I was leading the contemplative prayer group at our camp a couple years ago. And I have cut mine up and made it into a little book, and I did this for the people in my prayer group. For you, it's all in one strip, and you get to take it home and cut it up. But so I just, these are, it's just a few little pages, but this is that kind of reflect something about who I am and what my spirituality is like. Be still, my soul. Be still, my soul. I open my soul and consciousness to the fullness of God's being and attributes. I open my soul and consciousness to the fullness of God's being and attributes. From the Tao Te Ching, empty your mind of all thoughts. Let your heart be at peace. Empty your mind of all thoughts. Let your heart be at peace. And from Paul, Philippians 4:8. I love this. To me, this is so true. Think on these things. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, think on these things. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? Think on these things. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, think on these things. Glenn Clark. What are your actual, honest, sincere desires, shorn of all inferiority complexes, shorn of all repressions, and all temptations to defense, to compensation, to escape? What are your actual, honest, sincere desires? We're here for a whole week. This, I really encourage us to go inside our own hearts. What are your desires? What are your soul's sincere desires? And open to what this week can offer you, the beauty, the quiet, the prayer group, the support. And Jesus, consider the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Roshi, thanks for everything. I have no complaint whatsoever. Thanks for everything. I have no complaint whatsoever. If you'd like, say that with me. Thanks for everything. I have no complaint whatsoever. Glenn Clark. Gratitude is what puts the seal of permanence upon any act of prayer. Gratitude is what puts the seal of permanence upon any act of prayer. Every morning, Glenn Clark prayed this prayer. May I abide in the kingdom of heaven every moment of the day and inspire others to abide there also. Isn't that beautiful? May I abide in the kingdom of heaven every moment of the day and inspire others to abide there also. Sit. Lie down, stroll, listen, see, smell, taste, touch, ponder, doze, smile, cry, remember, forgive, give, imagine, dream, hum. Look up. Look down. Notice color, form, sheen, movement, bird song, floating clouds, sky. Hug a tree. Notice your breath. Hold your breath. Lengthen your breath. Feel your heartbeat. From Lao Tzu, the Tao Te Ching, some of my favorite phrases. Hold on to the center. Hold on to the center. Stop thinking and end your problems. Stop thinking and end your problems. Be completely present. Accord with the way things are. Accord with the way things are. Practice eternity. The last. The journey of 1,000 miles starts from beneath your feet. The journey of 1,000 miles starts from beneath your feet. Please join me in prayer. Thank you, dearest God, fullness of life. Thank you for this amazing journey that you have called each one of us on, our own special, unique journey, unlike anybody else's, in our own special, unique bodies, unlike anybody else's. Thank you for the gift of your presence, of your listening, of your speaking to us in our prayer time, in our openness. Such gratitude, God, for the many gifts that life has given us, that you have given us in our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus, your beloved Son. Amen.